Take heed, the hymn that we just sang, "My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise, the hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the prize. Oh, watch, fight, and pray, the battle never give over, or renew it boldly every day, and help divine and poor. And never think the victory won, nor at once at ease sit down, because thine arduous work will not be done till thou hast gained thy crown." Well, this hymn leads us to our subject for today, entitled "Take Heed." And we find that this word "take heed" is found 55 different times in Scripture. The word has several different meanings in the Old and New Testaments, but most of these words refer as a warning. Today we're going to only examine 7 of the 55 times that the word "take heed" is used in the Scriptures. Our opening text is going to come from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 1 to 12. And taken from the Greek, it has the thought of to discern, to turn your thoughts, to direct your mind, to take heed to yourself. And we'll start reading from 1 Corinthians 10. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all had passed through the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. With many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. For as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell one day 23,000. Let us not tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now, listen to this next group of scriptures. "Now, all these things happened unto them," that's the nation of Israel, "for examples, and they are written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the world or ages are come. Wherefore, let he that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall." Now, brethren, my discourse today refers to myself. I want every warning that is given to us in here, I want to take it very well for myself. I hope that you will get some good out of what we'll be talking about this afternoon. What caused the Apostle Paul to make the warning? "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall." Well, the Apostle takes us back, of course, to the Israel wandering in the wilderness after leaving Egypt. Verses 1 to 5 of 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that after leaving Goshen in Egypt, after 400 years of bondage, God baptized them into Moses. Brother Russell gives us this thought: "Every Jew was counted as the house of Moses, bound to him even unto death, merely needing repentance to be transferred to Christ, whom Moses typified." And that is found in Volume 6, page 432. Now, the nation was baptized, protected by a cloud that went behind them, keeping the army of the Egyptians from seeing them. And again, the nation was baptized in the water under Moses when they went over the Red Sea. The water heaped up on both sides of them with the cloud of fire. In their travels, Moses became their spiritual leader. And after entering into the wilderness, they ate manna, called spiritual meat, which again pictures Christ. And they drank the same spiritual drink by the striking of the rock, again a picture of Christ. But God was not well pleased with them. He was not well pleased with this nation, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. In Numbers 26, verse 65, we read, "The Lord had said to them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them, save Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun." What was wrong? We find that the people were murmurers, complainers, heady, and high-minded. We have a number of scriptures. We'll not take time to read them, but we'll quote them to you, and you can look them up for yourself. Exodus 16, 7 and 8. John 6:61, Philippians 2:14, Jude 16, 2 Timothy 3:4, Romans 11:20, and 1 Timothy 6:17. What was the matter with this nation of Israel? They never could see the miracles that God had given them, such as the Passover, the Red Sea experience, the water from the rock, the manna, the quail. Well, we might ask, are there lessons in this account for those in Christ? Yes. Now, these things again happened unto them for examples, and were, that is, by way of examples, and as a warning. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world or ages are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Now, the Lord had told Moses that the people had tested him 10 times. I looked this up. And sure enough, now this said that the Lord had tested him 7 or 10 times, Numbers 14:22. So looking back to the time that the nation left Egypt, I did find there were 10 different times that the nation tested God. And think back now, brethren. Here's where the warning comes. Have we tempted the Lord 10 times? Over our lifetime walk in Christ, perhaps many times more than 10. Israel is an example to us. Let us take heed. Not to test the Lord, but to trust and obey His every word. Let us not murmur like Israel when our trials come to us. Let us not complain about our conditions. We would think that seeing the many miracles that God had performed on Israel's behalf, that they would never murmur or complain about any condition. You know, brethren, we are being led step by step to our heavenly kingdom. We need to trust and obey every word, every experience that comes our way. And as I've said, I take these words to myself, because I have to ask myself each and every day and every night that I pray for the Lord, thank you for this day. What have I done? Have I complained? I do many times. Have I complained or murmured about the condition? Maybe my physical condition, maybe other conditions. Is that what we are to do? No, the lesson tells us, look to the Lord and think of all the things that He has done for you. Yes, we have to look and take heed. Now, our second take heed, we're going to move on to a text taken from Psalms 39, verse 1. Psalms 39, verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, that is a muzzle, while the wicked is before me. Here's David talking to us. King David. Now, all of us know, all of the Lord's people know, that we have 3 main adversaries to cope with. And they are the world, the flesh, and the devil. What about this little thing called the tongue? You know, the tongue is a very earthly adversary, and the Apostle James tells us about this little organ. We read from James chapter 3, starting in verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways, and if any man does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we can direct their entire body as well. Look at the little ships. Although they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are still directed by such a small rudder. Wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. And so also the tongue is a small part of the body. Yet it boasts great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Now the tongue is a fire, yes, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. Yes, and sets on fire the course of our whole life. No one can tame the tongue. Oh, really? It says no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. What do we do with it? With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. And have been, even though we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. So from the same mouth come both blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my dear brethren, produce olives? Or a vine produce figs? Well, nor can salt water produce flesh. New American Standard. Reading. Dear brethren, is it any doubt that we have such a little organ in our mouth? That the apostle says no one can tame. If we ever find this to be the case, what in the world can we do? Take heed. In our text from Psalms 39, the thought is that we keep a bridle on the tongue. And what is this bridle? Almost all translations use the word muzzle. Looking into this, we find that the thought is of keeping silence. When the wicked one is before us and we are being tried, it is best to keep our mouth shut. However, this muzzle, looked at from another standpoint, is our will. And we must consider what the Lord will have us say in any circumstance before we say it. In Matthew 15, verse 18, we read, the things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. We must think, therefore, before we speak, and this will never be easy, because slips of the tongue will be made. And then we must go and use the power of prayer. Do not fret because of evil men or envious of those who do wrong. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when others succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Psalms 37, verse 1 and verse 7. And if we go back to James again and hearing him speaking to all of the Lord's people, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, but with the tongue we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. What a terrible, terrible thing this is. Let us consider keeping a muzzle to ourselves, keeping quiet, and consider before we speak how we must take heed to our tongue. Our third take heed is a lesson taken from Matthew 16, verse 6. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What is leaven? Leaven is yeast, and it is a ferment which spreads, especially in dough made from bread. Now we look at this from God's word, which is true. The true bread by which his people are to be fed, Matthew 4:4. However, they are to use unleavened bread, pure truth, unmixed with the leaven of human philosophy. The Pharisees were the most attracted sect among the Jews. These most earnest and zealous and most gifted Jews would naturally find others attracted to their theories. Their theories were dangerous because their bread, truth, was intermingled with human traditions which can make one sick and which can poison all the minds who receive it. And all of the Lord's people here are to be aware of this leaven, to be on the lookout for it and to avoid it. It is only the pure truth of God's word that is able to make us wise unto salvation. And we read, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many prophets are gone out into the world." 1 John 4, verse 1. Matthew Henry, a Bible commentator, gives this thought on Matthew 16, verse 6. He says, "Disciples of Christ are in most danger from hypocrites. Against those that are openly vicious, they must stand upon their guard. And therefore the caution is double. Take heed and beware. The corrupt principles of the Pharisees and the Sadducees are compared to leaven. They fermented all that they came into contact with." End of quote. Now we think of this lesson. It is only God's word that can be sure to help us to walk in this narrow way. We're going to hear many voices out there calling to us, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let us be careful to not allow any leaven into our system. Our fourth take heed comes from Luke 8, verse 18. Luke 8, verse 18. "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and to whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have." Now Jesus had just given the parable of the sower, and like the earthly disciples, we have been given his word. And what are we to do with it? We are to share it with those with a hearing ear. Are we bringing forth fruit with patience? Verse 15. Are we like the next parable, the candle, those who light a candle and then cover it? Or do we allow our light to shine out through all in this dark world? You know, brethren, we have been given so much. What are we doing with it? The truth that we have received is never to be hidden. Nothing should be secret. All will be made manifest. God will give us opportunities to let our light shine. But if we do not let it shine, he will take away the opportunities from us and give them to others. Our take heed is a warning. Take heed how you hear. For whosoever hath, and you have much, and I have much, shall be given. But whosoever doth not use what he has, from him shall be taken away even that which he seems to have. Let us work on our opportunities as we witness to the truth. If we don't take our opportunities as they come to us, we will lose them, and God will give them to someone else. Fifth is, take heed, is our liberty. Galatians 5, verses 13 to 16. Brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. What is this liberty, we may ask, that is mentioned here in Galatians? Those in Christ have much freedom, much liberty. This word freedom is the Greek word for liberty. We have much more than those in the world. We've become new creatures in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. And no longer are we under Adamic condemnation, for we have forgiveness of sins. Titus 2, verses 13 and 14 reads this way. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Then in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, while in Christ, we are reckoned of God as free from sin. And while we are therefore free from condemnation, justified, yet actually we realize that the law of sin still works in our body and makes us realize continually that our actual liberty as sons of God is not yet possessed. Before we can fully realize this actual liberty, freedom, which God designs for all of his sons, we must first become willing servants of our new master, Christ, in order that he may accomplish our deliverance. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. Now let's look at our text from Galatians 5, 13 to 16. The Judaizers were those intent on Paul to keep the law of circumcision. And they were causing all kinds of trouble. In verse 4, Paul says, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Verse 7. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? Verses 8 to 10. That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who called you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Verses 8 to 13, 13 to 15. You, my brothers, were serve one another. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law, then, this law of liberty, is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out. You will be destroyed by each other. This is the New International Version. So what is our lesson? Brethren, we've come away from the world. We have a new life, a regenerated life. We cannot use worldly methods of backbiting one another because not everyone sees our views exactly as they do. Our freedom in Christ should lead us to love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. You don't hate yourself. The Apostle Paul writes, "See that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both amongst yourselves and to all." 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Notice the Apostle is writing to those in Christ. But this new life should extend to everyone. This same new life to everyone that we come in contact with. Our liberty is to be used then in a positive manner. It seems that we often forget the words of the Lord, especially those in Christ. Just because we have the Holy Spirit, do we think that we cannot or do not sin? We know the words of the Apostle John are correct. If we say we do not sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. But he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. Again, he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he goes, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you as little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. This is from 1 John 2, verses 8 to 12. So let's take our freedom then, dear brethren, to new heights. Let us learn to love one another with a pure heart, not forcing our thoughts or our ways upon others. And this is going to take a lot of, if we have the right liberty, this will take a lot to do and to follow. Our sixth take heed comes from Luke 12, verse 15. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." That's the Revised Standard Version of Luke 12 and 15. This Greek word, take heed, is from Strong's 3705, and has the thought to become acquainted with by experience. What is covetousness? The word from the Greek is the thought of avarice, an insatiable greed for riches, a desire to gain or hoard wealth. Well, in the Ten Commandments, we are told, "You shall not covet thy neighbor's goods." This comes from Deuteronomy 5:21. This word covet means to greatly desire or to wish for, to lust after. So looking back at our text, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things he possesses. No. Now, there was a large crowd that listened to Jesus' words here, many thousands. They were following Jesus, and he was giving them lessons. One in the crowd thought to have Jesus play the part of an arbitrator. Yes. He said, he came to Jesus, and he said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me." You know how Jesus answered this in Luke 12, 14 and 15. "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed or covetousness. Again, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." NIV translation. Weymouth translation of this same verse says, "No one's life consists in the superabundance of his possessions." Notice here, it doesn't say he shouldn't have possessions, but the superabundance of them. So we have another lesson. If we look at others with what they have, we desire and lust after those possessions, it shows we are not a happy person. We are not happy with what we have received from the Lord. Another lesson is shown to us in the words of Matthew 6, Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. "Do not lay up stores of wealth for yourselves here on earth, where the moth and wear and tear destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but amass wealth for yourself in heaven, where neither moth nor wear and tear destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your wealth is, there also will your heart be." This is the Weymouth translation. Then the measure of who we are is not measured in the goods we have or desire to have. Let your life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Hebrews 13:5. And again in Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." We are so rich in Christ Jesus. We receive each and every day so much of the spiritual riches, the personal privilege of communion with the Father through our Lord Jesus, protection by our guardian angels, and our water and food are secure. Guidance has been given to us through the Holy Spirit. Our seventh and last take heed for this lesson comes from Luke 17, verses 1 to 4. Luke 17, verses 1 to 4. "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. For if thy brother trespass against him, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in the day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, you will forgive him." In Luke 17, nothing is given to us to show what led up to our Lord telling his disciples about these offenses to God's little one. But we do find lessons taken from Mark, the ninth chapter, Mark the ninth chapter, verses 33 and 34, and also from Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 1 to 7. Now the disciples had been disputing over who would be greatest in the kingdom. Mark 9:33 and 34. In Matthew 18, the disciples had come to Jesus to ask him who would be greatest in God's kingdom. And Jesus' answer gives us a very, very good lesson. We read from Matthew 18, starting from verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What did Jesus do? You know this lesson so well. He called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them, and he said, saying, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is great in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one, such little child in my name, receives me. But who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. It must be that offenses will come, but woe to the man to whom the offense comes. In Luke 22, we have another answer to the question of who will be the greatest. Luke 22, verses 24 to 27. The kings exercise lordship over the Gentiles. What are they called? They're called benefactors, philanthropists, workers of good. Let this not be so among you. Let the younger, that is the regenerate, serve. For which is greater, he that dineth? But I am among you than he that serves. Now the Lord was the greatest of servants. And we need to be humble ourselves and to serve one another. We need to be like this little child that Jesus set before them. When we see humility in anyone, we should be glad to accept them and to serve them. Proverbs 22, verse 4, by humility and the reverence of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. In Colossians 3, 12 to 14, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. For if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do the same. New King James Version. All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon you, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:5. Now the problem seems to be that most want to be served, not to serve. These little ones, humble-minded in the truth, are the very ones we should exemplify. These new ones show a ready tendency to serve others. And should any offend those little ones which believe in Christ, the attitude will never be tolerated by our Master. Sometimes the older ones want to be looked up to for their time and service, and they become unruly with the little ones. But a childlike character is what the Lord is looking for. Let's summarize quickly now. We've gone over 7 take heeds, and the lessons that we have learned are, do not grumble, do not murmur, do not complain about God's providences, for it is a wonder that the nation of Israel was not destroyed by God. But we find we mumble, we grumble, we complain many times about God's providences. Let all the Lord's people take heed. The second take heed brings a lesson on the tongue, how we must need to keep a bridle, a muzzle on our this little organ. Let all the Lord people take heed. And our third take heed is about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Leaven, a picture of sin that is allowed, if allowed, to permeate the body, will eventually kill the spirit. The fourth deals with sharing what we have with others. You know, the truth is a wonderful blessing, and we are to let our light shine forth to all hearing ears and look for opportunities for service in the truth. The fifth take heed deals with liberty. We've been brought out of the miry clay We've had our feet set upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus. But how are we using this liberty? Are we finding ways to criticize our brethren, finding fault with the way they understand the truth? Are using our liberty in Christ is only to find the good in those who have been brought into the heavenly fold? And let us use our liberty in a positive manner. The sixth has to do with our covetousness. The measure of who we are is not measured in the superabundance of the things we possess. And last has to do with serving. If we are wondering what position we'll have in God's kingdom, we will surely fail to make our calling and election sure. If we bicker and fight with one another, offenses will surely come. We need to be like little children and humble ourselves, be humble-minded, loving children. Let us take these seven heeds to heart, dear brethren. I want to take them to heart myself and apply myself to these lessons. Soon it will be memorial time. A good time to re-examine our hearts and tell God and our Lord and Master that we will strive to do better and take heed to ourselves. God be with you.